Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to talk about other dimensions, astral worlds, with astral travelers. It's very exciting. We'll be talking about living in other dimensions. Who's out there? Are we out there? Can we find ourselves out there? Or if we are out there, who do we find? And what about after we die? What is out there to expect? So there's a lot we're going to talk about in the show. The magic of our true reality, of our multidimensional selves. And to do that, back on the show again, are two astral travelers, Stephanie S. Darrow, D-A-R-R-O-W, and her son, Darren Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. And Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful to see you again.
Thank you. And Darren?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Peter.
So glad you're here.
It's always a joy.
Good. We're going to look at what life is about. Who are we really? And what does it mean when it's over?
I find that many people are astral traveling these days.
According to the latest Gallup poll, 2009, 30 million Americans are having out-of-body experiences.
30 million. And where did you hear that statistic?
Latest Gallup poll on 2009. You can Google it and get those statistics for yourself.
Okay, so there are that many people who say that they've had out-of-body experiences.
So more and more people are coming out of the woodwork. They're having very solid experiences. They don't know what they're experiencing. They don't know where they are. And they find themselves flying around, talking to people, talking even to dead relatives. So it doesn't make sense. When they come back into their body, they either devalue it as a dream or they value it as something that they actually don't feel comfortable with talking about to other people because it's so otherworldly.
Right. And I've heard other statistics from other guests I've had on the show about people who claim that dead relatives have visited them. And it's a huge number. It's also in the tens of millions, or not more, in this country. People have had experiences where they know that somebody who has just died has connected with them in some form.
Well, actually, we're starting to push the spiritual boundaries and starting to get a broader sense of the bigger picture we're in. The bigger picture includes the soul, and these are the soul's natural states of being. The soul does exist within us, and we do go out of our bodies when we sleep, and we do experience that whole other world, that whole other dimension, when our bodies sleep, often. People also have these out-of-the-body experiences through traumatic events like a car crash or some kind of heart attack. We hear many stories about people returning back to their bodies with accounts of white light and meeting people, being greeted on the other side, and then coming back with that transforming experience that turns their life around so they have an opportunity to a second chance at life with
right.
another perspective.
And yet there are a lot of times when we're out of body at night, when we're sleeping and we don't even know it. For instance, I've had a number of people tell me that they've woken up in the middle of the night and seen me doing healing work on them, and I never knew about it.
That's often because you're so familiar with traveling astrally that it's not got the wow factor for you anymore, that you don't get so excited by flying around.
But I have no memory of it.
Yeah.
So here I am running around healing people in the middle of the night, and I don't know about it, but other people do. And then when I ask higher consciousness if that's true, if I've really been out there doing that, they always tell me, oh yes, you do that.
But this is often because familiarity, we don't memorize things that are so familiar. We memorize things that have a deep impact on us, or that we exercise a strong memory to try remember as we're doing it.
Our memory is very selective.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Peter, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you wake up from these dreams, do you have any memory of falling.
No. And I don't have any dreams about it either.
When you wake, do you wake with a jerk?
No.
No?
No.
Because very often people who travel as astral travelers, when they come back, they don't know how to come back, and they fall back into their body. In the act of falling back in, instead of coming back in very slowly into the physical form, they get what's known as the flash dance, which is an electrical surge. It goes through your body and erases your memory, so you have no memory of where you've been. If, when you go astral, when you come back, if you come back into your body very, very slowly, and if you slide yourself in like a drawer very carefully, you won't have the flash dance, and your memory will improve, and you'll remember where you've been.
Well, I'll tell myself to do that better in the future.
Right.
Good.
Another little thing to do is when you're out of your body, tell yourself, remember everything you're seeing and hearing now. And if you do those two things, your memory will improve remarkably.
It is very important to instruct ourselves before we go to sleep. And we can have experiences that we never expected if we give the instructions to have those kinds of experiences.
Yeah.
Yes, also my experience is when I have a dilemma, when I have an issue, or something I personally want to work with, the old philosophy of sleep on it, if you go with that intention and you go out of your body to get a broader perspective so you can understand more, so you can make wiser choices, that helps so much. You might not consciously remember, but when you wake up the next day, it starts coming into your memory or it starts coming into your life. You write it down or you start working with those same problems in a different way.
What you're talking about, and this is very important, most people don't understand how our conscious mind and our subconscious mind work together. Because we don't know, we are always thinking that we're products of our conscious mind. And what you're talking about is using the downtime of sleep, but we can also use meditation, and we can even use any distraction in life. When we have something on the front burner and we need an answer, if we distract ourselves and stop thinking about it, our subconscious will keep working on it on the back burner and bring us answers. And so many times we get the answers we need when we surrender and stop processing and then come back and all of a sudden we're smarter.
Yes.
It's very important. And what we're talking about here is who we truly are in nature. We're so much more multidimensional than we allow ourselves to be because of our survival mechanisms. Our ego wants to be in charge. Our ego wants to think it knows everything. And the ego is sitting on top of and squashing off in this subconscious mind that has better opportunities than the ego has, because the subconscious mind can see so much more than our conscious minds.
But here we're still relating to ourselves as purely human beings. I feel the key lies in starting to relate to ourselves as a soul in the human experience and with a cosmic consciousness that we're far broader than just the human experience.
And so what we're talking about here is not just our mind, but we even have a soul that spawned us into this life and that is with us, and also represents who we are in the universe that's even more than just us here. Also, we have our guides. We have other helpers out there.
Yes.
There are so many individuals on our team.
But as soon as we apply ourselves consciously, understanding this broader picture, then I feel when we do go to sleep, when we do go astral, and we know we're going to apply ourselves to that aspect, that we go and ask souls wiser than ourselves or connect to those who are wiser than ourselves
right. For
our answers.
Exactly. So the subconscious is not just coming up with its own answers. It's actually seeking support from all the other intelligences around it.
Yes, definitely. That's the way to go, to become more conscious than you already are, to apply yourself to it and choose to go the directions where you're going to find those answers,
right. Or
get that support.
People don't understand the nature of inspiration and how we are inspired. And so often, we think that we're thinking something and we're actually being guided to think that way.
I feel a lot of art and creativity and music is channeled through us.
Sure.
Most of it is channeled. So we think it's original coming just from us, but we're actually the vehicle for those channelings of creativity.
Well, because of the kind of work I do as an intuitive, I get a lot of famous artists, even scientists, who have told me confidentially that it didn't come from them, that they received this information.
Yes.
It's amazing how this multidimensional universe supports us that most people are totally unaware of.
Which is why we're actually coming back to the fact that more and more people have active 6th or 7th senses coming into the world now. It's a new generation, and a new generation where this is going to become more commonplace. So it's not something we should hide away or be careful to mention to other people because they'll put us in an institution or want to medicate us. But we know that we're right because these are very solid experiences for us and very solid experiences for thousands of others. For those who can never or will never experience this, it doesn't mean it exists. It just means it's closed off to you for some reason. But right. It's opened up for others, for many others.
Yes.
I think, Peter, it might help for the listener to know exactly where they go when they leave their physical body. And the reality that people encounter when they leave their body is known as the etheric plane, and the etheric planes duplicate Earth in every way.
They duplicate, and we've talked about this in a previous show, I think, where there is actually a faux world out there, F-A-U-X, a faux world that is designed to bring us into familiarity when we arrive at this higher dimension.
Exactly, because every city, every country, every town, every historic site has been duplicated on the etheric planes. And the reason for that is that you have recognizable surroundings with which you're already familiar, and that will make you feel safe. So you don't have to be afraid of finding yourself out there in space on the etheric planes, because you'll have recognition of many of the scenes that you encounter.
Right, and that's once you get out there. But let's also talk about what our choices are when we pass on, and our immediate choices. Because a lot of people are really, they want to hang on. Let's just say they've been in an accident. They're suddenly drawn out of their bodies, pulled out of their bodies, or popped out of their bodies, and they're on some other plane, and they're dead, but they're still alive. It's like, wait a minute, here I am. I can even look at myself, because we have that ability to create this, or it's being created for us, to still recognize that we're alive. And then we have choices. And those choices are very important to know now, to know while we're still alive, so we don't fear death.
When you leave your body, you 9 times out of 10, you enter your etheric body, which is a duplicate of the body you have now.
Right, and it's been created for us as
an
illusion.
The etheric body is always there.
Right, but it's an illusion. But so is our physical reality an illusion.
Yes,
so it's all an illusion.
But we're dealing with coexisting realities. That it doesn't mean that one is a lie and the other one is true. It just means that they are all true.
Right.
But just
right.
Some are, they become more refined in their truth.
Right, but this is the reality of our multidimensionality.
Yes.
So what I want to get to, though, is that once we're out of our body and we can even recognize ourselves as alive and yet we're dead, and yet a lot of things that we expect from life don't happen, like being able to communicate with people who think we're dead and even be able to walk through walls.
Well, not everyone has the 6th or 7th sense. And people who have the 6th sense, like yourself, Peter, you do manage to see a room full of people, even when the room is empty and there's only you.
Well, I've been able to communicate with the dead for a long time now. The point is that I want people to feel comfortable that right away they're not going to be swept away from their families. They can go to their funerals. They can go to their memorials. They can hang out. I had relatives who passed, And they hung out for 2 months before they went anywhere.
And not simply that, that if you love someone, that love connection is actually the glue that binds you both in ways that that other person can hear and feel loving intentions to them. You can say to them, even though they're departed, they're on the other side, that I love you. You can say all the things you wish to say, and they will hear it.
Sure. Sure, it's just that we don't hear them necessarily. Most of us don't. And that's where the grief is that we've lost that contact.
Yes.
And I think that as we evolve now into a greater capacity as humans, with more of our brain capacity working for us and more strands of DNA, that many, many, many more people on this planet will have that facility.
They'll start connecting, and therefore grief starts to let go. There's no need for grief. As soon as you start having sixth sense activity so you can communicate with those who pass over, there's no end. There's a continuous existence of that soul.
I love it. But let's talk again about once people pass on, because I've gone to many memorials and funerals where the dead are there, and I can actually see where they are and sometimes talk with them, sometimes just watch them do their thing, which is often trying to connect with people there and certainly listening to the eulogies and feeling a part of it. And then very soon after that, often they move on. They just needed to be there for that. And some people wait a long time. I have all kinds of stories of how people have waited to complete life here in a way that they can move on, at least to see that it surely is over and they're free. And then they, let's call it, go upstairs.
Yes, that progression of leaving the world and going back into the heavens is a natural thing, and that's part of the natural process. But for those who actually insist on staying earthbound, for those who really hesitate to go there, it has more to do with unresolved issues. Or maybe there is someone in life who they really wish to stick around for, or right, some redemption of some kind.
Yes. I think it's very important that people know when you gain something, you lose something. When you lose something, you gain something. When you leave this world and you leave your loved ones behind here, there's a vast range of friends that we have known in that life, relatives, parents, grandparents, cousins, sisters, brothers who've already passed over before us, and they are waiting to reconnect with us and to be with us again in this new life. So having left one dimension with all those relationships behind, you enter another dimension and you pick up where you left off with all these other people that you have known in that life. Your mother and father, your grandparents, your best friends that might have passed on, your sisters and brothers, your dearest friends. And they are delighted to be with you again and to see you. And it takes 2 years when you pass over to go through the procedures, the healing procedures, before you can go through the gates of heaven. So into the interior of the heavens. So in that 2 years, many, many people stay with you to see you through that process, and they make you feel loved, and they make you feel safe, and they make you feel happy.
But what you're saying is very important, that when we die and we go out there and we meet family members and loved ones who have passed on before, that is not really where heaven is.
It is heaven. It is part of the heavens, the seventh heaven. The sixth heaven, you have to enter the sixth heaven, is the interior of the heavens.
Okay, let's stop right there, because I want to be clear that what you're saying is that once we pass, we move to a level that's called number seven.
No, the earth is part of the seventh heaven.
Oh, okay, so then we move out
the
there
level.
To the sixth level, but that's still not as, let's call it, heavenly as you can get, because you can get to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 out there.
Right. So that they are high heavens. But the seventh heaven is wonderful, just as all the heavens are wonderful. And they're familiar to us because we're very familiar with our surroundings. And we can go to other places. We can visit other countries.
Okay, so the seventh heaven is out there. But yes. It's the replica of here.
Yes. Okay. A complete replica of here.
It's essentially part of the etheric plane is one of the seventh heavens.
Okay.
So the etheric double.
Right. So we go there for its familiarity. It's set up for us to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
The bliss levels out there are quite astounding, right?
Yes, but we pass through that level very quickly, Peter, because we go through the white light. When we experience the white light, we do so because that takes us through Earth's magnetic field, and we need that input of light to get through the magnetic field, and that we are then in the next dimension, which is called arrivals and departures. That's the first stop for us when we pass over.
Right. Now, isn't there a cleansing that goes on somewhere?
Oh, yes. The cleansing, the healing processes begin very quickly. And one of the loveliest things, I think, about arrivals and departures is that on the seventh day when you're there, they give you a healing procedure in which they bathe you in glorious colors, and you go fast asleep. And when you wake up, they have reversed your time clocks so that you are between the age of 24 and 32. There are no old people in the heavens.
Right.
So that happens on the seventh day.
I know. I've seen my mother out there, and when she died, she was in her 70s, but when I saw her, she was in her 30s.
Yes.
And she looked great.
I know. They are. They're all having a marvelous time there.
Right.
So it's good. We have a whole new life. And it's exciting to be young and full of vitality again.
Right. Now, Stephanie, I want to talk about why you know all this.
I have been an astral time traveler for 35 years. My son has been a time traveler for 25 years. I come from a family of time travelers. My brother-in-law, Edward, he married my sister when I was 15 years old. He was an astral time traveler. His brother Roy was an astral time traveler. Their best friend, the great medium, Olive Coleman, was also an astral time traveler. I think in the Victorian era, time travel was very common. For some reason, it sort of fell out of favor.
We came more into a material age.
Yeah.
And I think that's why.
A wonderful comeback now, because practically every other person I'm talking to are going to the astral plane. It's so exciting.
Now, tell me about how you know all this stuff due to being an astral traveler.
Well, I have a teacher from the higher astral planes, an ascending master named John Montgomery. And he and I have been together for many, many, many past lives. And we have always been involved in astral time travel. We've been involved in that project for centuries, trying to establish it on Earth and trying to connect people with their multidimensional selves, their cosmic selves. It's a great, great adventure.
What have you and John done that now you can tell us all of this information?
He has dictated a lot of material to me, and I have written book one. I've just done the second edition of Seven Glorious Days in Heaven, so that will be available very shortly on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, etc. And I have halfway through book two, which is The Alchemist and the English Apprentice. So that details how I became an astral time traveler. It took centuries.
You've also had, in this lifetime, you've gone out there to actually see these places.
Yes, I have. John Montgomery has taken me. He has the ability, since he is an ascending master, he has the ability to enclose me in a bubble, take me through Earth's magnetic field, which is a very unusual event, and he takes me to a place called the Plateau, which is on the same level as arrivals and departures. And that, he took me there for 14 years, and he educated me on the heavens. He took me to whatever levels he could to demonstrate the reality. And so I learned a tremendous amount from John Montgomery.
And from your own journeys there with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, that's wonderful. So this is important for us all to recognize. If you can do it, many of us can.
Yes, of course.
We have to find our own John Montgomerys. And Darren, you're related to John Montgomery too.
Yes, John Montgomery has been teaching me for a long time as well, in alignment with my mother and my mother's work, so that we have our own pet subjects that we want to open up and that we work with and we understand, because it's a vast area. To understand the human experience, the soul's experience in the human experience, is a vast subject. So you can go any direction, and it's a very broad opening that keeps expanding. All information about the human experience is expansive.
Well, what it is that the human is expansive.
Yes.
And we're learning what being human is now in its multidimensionality, rather than this limited material five senses reality that we're supposedly stuck in.
Well, the materialism of this world actually ultimately teaches us that there's nothing really here for us. There's no material that will sustain happiness of the soul. There's nothing we can have or own or get or want that will sustain our true being.
Right, it's transitory. That's why Buddha said we're here to suffer, because it's so transitory. And yet the suffering is why we come here, so we can have the richness of this experience and expand and enrich our sense of love.
It's a necessary vehicle,
right,
as yet, for us to evolve. Whereas those who are actually applying themselves to their progression and their spiritual life and their other senses have grasped the concept that we can consciously evolve ourselves. Therefore, by consciously evolving ourselves, we are setting up different events for ourselves, because we don't need those pain events for us to grow. We are applying ourselves to our own progression, and we will encounter a different series of events.
Let's hope so, because enough of this pain.
Yes, enough of pain. Pain,
I know.
Pain through, and growth through consciousness.
But that's why I think consciousness is expanding at this time on this planet, because I think we're getting to the point where we're done with this dense, difficult environment. We're coming to the end of the show, and I do want to make sure that everybody is connected here with us, the audience. And Darren, how can people reach you?
Well, they can reach me together with Anne on trinitysouls.net. And the goal is that we teach people how to connect with higher souls who will work with them to unravel the mysteries, same as we do.
I love it.
There will be someone who they find as a battery to give them that energy and support them. They will sit, do automatic writing or direct voice, and have someone on the other side who is a master or ascending master, or someone very developed, connected to them, who will work with them from the other side.
That's terrific. Darren,
that's
thanks.
What we encourage.
That's great work. And you mentioned Anne, who is your associate.
And yes, and we work
great.
Very well as a team.
And she'll be on a future show with us.
Yes.
Good. And Stephanie S. Darrow, the author of Seven Glorious Days in Heaven. Thank you so much, Stephanie. This is great, and you've explained how people can find your book. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I think the most important aspect which Darren has raised for the listener to be able to grasp is this. We so associate ourselves with the human experience, and once you accept the reality of the astral plane and accept yourself as a multidimensional entity and being, there's a complete shift inside you as to what reality really means.
All right. And you're helping a great deal to create that. Thank you so much for being guests on
Energy
Still.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you.
It's been great talking
with you. Thank
you, Peter. Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots of classes coming up. I'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.